Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, and thank you, as always, for listening to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. Like I've been saying on these past few podcasts, since the Raptors are in the NBA Finals, we are very much Raptors-centric at the moment, so if you want to hear anything Jays, which I'm sure you do not, this is not the podcast that you should be listening to. Game 5 happened on Monday night. The Raptors ended up losing that one by 1 point, 106 to 105. Before we get into talking, let me introduce myself. I'm Hunter Surplus. I'm the host of this podcast. And as always, joined with me, Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, how are you doing, big guy?
I mean, all things considered, pretty good. You know, this is a tough loss, but I feel like we're going to get them in Oracle. So
It was a tough loss, but if you think about the game itself, the Raptors probably shouldn't have won it, realistically. They didn't really have a chance until the very end. And which, I mean, that's a time when you want to have, you know, the chance, when you want to start playing well. But Golden State had 23s to our, I think it was eight threes. So that is probably going to change. If the Raptors hit one more three, the game goes a different way, right? So I don't know, man. I'm not worried about it. I know you're not worried about it. Raptors fans should not be worried about it. There's going to be no KD for the rest of the series, and this is kind of where I want to start off talking about is that KD injury. It happened with about halfway through the second quarter, I would say. And the big thing with this, obviously, they're saying that it is going to be an Achilles tear, which, you know, is never a good thing. You don't want to see that type of stuff for any type of basketball player, any athlete, especially, you know, one of the best in the world and one of the best to ever do it. The big thing other than that that's coming from this injury is the reaction of the fans, not only at the game in Toronto, but around the GTA in Canada from people who are watching. So the big thing is that they were cheering when KD got injured, and people are really upset about it, right? People are really upset about it. Kyle, how do you feel?
I mean, they have reason to. I think that obviously when we saw him go down, we were also excited because, like, we thought that he just would be out of the game. But I think once we realized the severity of the injury, then we all regretted our decisions of cheering it, because, like, you never want to see that happen, man, especially because that affects the game in general. You don't want to see one of the best, like you said, one of the best players to ever do it, like, pretty much tears Achilles, and it might ruin his career, to be honest. Like, you don't know where people come back from this. Like, it's a huge injury with a lot of recovery time, and some players are just never the same after this stuff. So I think we're getting too much hate for us, like, for just the fans cheering for it, but then immediately regretting it. Even during the game, you saw, like, people give him a standing ovation when he walked off the court, and they started cheering KD, and that was, what, like, 3 minutes after they cheered? Like, I saw a tweet from Cabby, and he's like, if that's not the most Canadian thing you've ever seen, they cheer for him to get knocked down, and as soon as he gets back up, they apologize and cheer him off the court. Like, I think that is just what people are missing in this whole thing. And I just saw this today. When Kawhi went down in Oracle Arena when he got injured when he was playing for the Spurs, a bunch of fans started cheering because they knew.
That's the thing, man. Like, it's in any fan base, and I'm not saying that it's good that we did it, but any fan base in any sport probably would have done the exact same thing. I'm not condoning the fact that you're cheering for somebody getting injured, but like you said, I literally had this written down in my notes that the Golden State fans did the same thing when Kawhi went down. The only difference is they didn't chant Kawhi when he was walking off, right? So, like, obviously it's a really, really, really bad look, and I think that Toronto fans and Toronto in general should own up to it and say, yeah, we did it. We probably shouldn't have done it. Recognize that it was a bad thing to do, and we will try not to do it again. But there's many different things that go into the people cheering. There, it was the turnover that came from the injury, right? So then that's the initial, I think that was the initial cheer. It led to a fast break dunk. The cheer goes on to that. I don't, like, for me at first when a lot of people were cheering, like, my initial reaction was, I was like, oh shit, we got a, you know, we stole the ball from KD, and then I saw him go down, and I was like, oh shit. And then I saw we dunked it, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's how a lot of fans took it, is that they were kind of cheering, and then they realized KD went down. They were like, yeah, even better. Like, he's, you know, might not be able to play as well. And then there was the one point, however, where people were like waving at him when he was walking off. But also on top of that, those are the people who paid $100,000 for seats. Those were the people, right? Like, and realistically, the people that were in Scotiabank Arena that night, right? You pretty much had to pay $4,000 to walk in the door if you wanted to get into that game. You had to pay $4,000. I don't believe that that is a good representation of what Raptors fans are like. I really don't, because who can really afford a $4,000 ticket? Not a whole lot of people can do that. A lot of Raptors fans probably can't do that. And to put that on the people who, you know, are really loving the game and really loving basketball, and putting them in the same category as some of these guys who were cheering, is, I think it's a little unfair, but it's what happens with everything, right? To me, the only action that Raptors fans can do and that Toronto can do is say, hey, look, we're sorry. We messed up. We didn't do a good thing. And that's the only way they can untaint their reputation. But like you said, Callum, they did that when Kawhi went down. They'll do it again when the next superstar that their team is playing, that's torching them, goes down. It's going to happen. It happens all the time. It's the spur of the moment. And especially when you're in a place, everybody's cheering. And even if you don't want to cheer, you're going to get into it a little bit. There's 20,000, 30,000 people around you that are all cheering and yeah, let's go, let's go. How are you not going to get into that, right? And I know, like, morally it's wrong, and morally they should not have ever done it. The chant, the cheering should have never started. But when he was walking off the court, KD, 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 right? So I don't know. I think it's a little overblown. I know you think it's a little overblown, as you said, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyways, I think we should actually talk actual basketball. And one thing that I wanna point out here is, the next thing that a lot of people are talking about is Kyle Lowry and the end of the game that he had. And I remember right after the game ended, I had to go to work, and I think the last thing I said to you was probably, that might have been the worst minute of basketball that I've seen Kyle Lowry play. That was before I found out that Draymond Green blocked the ball and all that kind of stuff. I thought he just...
I mean, none of us thought that he got a finger on it.
Yeah, so now that I know that, I kind of recant that statement. And you know what? Once again, heat of the moment, a few beers in me, I say some stupid things. And that's one of the stupid things that I said. I Kyle Lowry, I'm sorry. Raptors fans, I'm sorry. But that's not to say that he didn't have a bad end of the game, right? Bad 2 minutes. 2 minutes ago, he misses a three-pointer, which, you know, everyone misses three-pointers. Whatever. That's fine. And then Boogie Cousins gets called for that offensive goaltend, which was shocking that they actually called that. He gets called for that offensive goaltend, and we're up three at this point. So this is where, you know, this team should have put the game away. If they get a bucket on this next possession, they probably end up winning the game. What does Kyle Lowry do? He runs into the paint and throws it over backcourt, right? And then at the end of the game, as we all know, he did get blocked by Draymond Green, which I thought was just like the worst shot I've ever seen in my whole life, but it didn't. But then again, you know, people saying that he's having a bad game, and I think that is yet another overreaction, because he was actually really good tonight. Cal, where do you stand on Kyle Lowry's performance in Game 5?
I think overall it was pretty deep. Like, it was just another, like, it was a Kyle Lowry game. I think the last, that play where he threw it over backcourt was just terrible. And then obviously the shot, he couldn't, we don't know what would have happened if Draymond didn't get a finger on it. I also think that, I don't know, maybe they're kind of happy that they didn't win it there because of what happened with KD. Like, I feel like it would have been tainted for us because, bro, if the American broadcasters could find any way to, other than the fact that, oh, they had so many injuries, this is just another thing they could say, like, oh, wow, the Raptors fans are so rude to all the players. They don't deserve the title, like, all that stuff. Like, it'd be so bad for the players because, like, they would have to deal with that stuff in their victory. So, like, not to say that I'm happy that it's going to game six, but I'm happy for the players that don't have to deal with that bullshit because I think people are going to realize by the next game that, like, any fan base would have done it. They did it themselves to Kawhi when he got injured. So, like, Kyle Lowry, he just got to play his game, man. He just can't do stupid stuff. Yeah, that's a Jeremy Lin type move right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, overall, his game, he had 18 points, 6 assists. You know, he was 50% from the field, but only 1 of 6 from 3. Like, that's a pretty, you know, it's a relatively solid Kyle Lowry night. Like, that is kind of what you expect from a guy like Kyle Lowry. It's just that last minute, dude. It's just that last minute where he was just, that one turnover, like, was the biggest thing. And that one turnover, you can look back at that. I don't care about the Nick Nurse timeout or any other plays that happened. You can look back at that turnover and say, wow, like, this is kind of where that ship was sailed, because that turnover was a spot where you could have run into the paint and just laid it up, even got a foul. And then we saw it happen later in the quarter. Like, I think it was a minute later, Kyle Lowry comes in and then does the exact same move. And instead of throwing it behind him to nobody, what does he do? He lays the ball in and gets 2 points. So that's the type of stuff that you don't want to see, especially in an NBA Finals game where you can win it and you are in a position to win the game. It was bad, but I do think he did play better than Fred VanVleet, obviously outside of those last 2 minutes. Pretty much any time Fred was out on the floor, it felt like the Warriors were just getting buckets. He was fouling everybody, and our offense was kind of stagnant when he was out there. And something that I've said a bunch, and you've kind of stated too, is that sometimes Fred VanVleet can get into a pattern where he just dribbles the ball for 18 seconds and then tries to make something with the last 5 seconds of the shot clock. And I think that's kind of what he got into once again in this game. I mean, he did shoot the ball well. He did shoot the ball well, but he only had 1 assist. He had 3 fouls, 3 of 6 from the 3-point land. But the biggest thing that I saw was he was dribbling. He was dribbling for 18 seconds, getting him in trouble, getting the other players in trouble, not knowing what to do with the ball. And I don't know, man. How'd you see Fred VanVleet? Do you think he needs to be better in game 6 to secure a win?
Oh, of course. Like you just said, like, he got into the same stupid stuff where he just dribbles forever and ever and never does anything until he has legit no time left. So I think he has to stick to that role of catch and shoot, which works so well in all those games since having his kid leading up to right now. But for some reason, he decided that today was the day he'd switch it up. I don't know. I feel like he's just got to – someone's got to tell him, bro, like, it's not your job anymore. Your job is to catch and shoot. Like, you're a Danny Green type now. You got to stay in your lane.
And I've been saying this, like – since last year, and you can vouch for this. I've been saying this for such a long time that Fred VanVleet is a, like, almost elite off-ball player. But as soon as he starts getting on ball and starts dribbling out the clock for 16 to 18 seconds when your offense needs to get going, that's not where he's suited best. And even when DeLon Wright was on the team, I said that DeLon Wright should be the ball handler in that scenario and have Fred VanVleet roam off ball. I think he had two or three catch and shoot threes that he made in this game where you were just like, all right, yeah, that's how we need to play Fred VanVleet. And then what happens the next time down the court? He starts dribbling between his legs, tries to dribble around. He runs under the basket like he usually does and then starts dribbling out around the three-pointer. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what the hell? We only have 5 seconds to shoot. Then he makes a pass, and then it gives someone else a bad opportunity. And I'm not saying that he didn't play well and he didn't have moments where he was like, oh, yeah, that's very good. But it was just like he got back into those ways, and it wasn't the whole game. It wasn't the whole game. It was just parts of this game where he got back to those old ways where he's dribbling around for so long. And you're just like, oh, my God, Fred, like, do something. You're not James Harden, buddy. You're not James Harden. I'll tell you right now. Speaking of unfavorable games, I don't want to say bad, but unfavorable games. Kawhi Leonard didn't have a great game last night. In fact, I would say that he was not good. He was 4 of 15 in the first three quarters. He basically only had a 3-minute, 4-minute stretch where he was actually making shots and really pulling this team back in. And you know what? That's pretty much all we needed to get close, which is a good thing for this Raptors team. But he also turned the ball over what felt like 1,000 times. Like every single time he had the ball in the first half, really, it was like, oh my God, like this guy can't do anything right at the moment. And then he was just bricking everything. He still got to the line a bunch, so that's kind of where a lot of his points came from. And he was still getting rebounds. But outside of that, I did not like what I saw. I really did not like what I saw from Kawhi Leonard. And I don't know if it's fatigue or if, you know, he's getting doubled a lot. So it could be that effect. And I don't know what I want to see from him, but it's definitely not that. Cal, what do you think Kawhi needs to do better in game six?
Man, it's tough to say what you want Kawhi to do better. I mean, obviously, to shoot at a more efficient rate would be nice, but I think it's just he's playing with an injury is, like, the biggest thing. Man, like, I'm trying to think, like, what – because, like, you want – the whole team to do well, like that's how you win games, like as if the team is equally as good. But what we've seen from some players right now is like Kawhi needs to step up like he did in those two other series and just take like he did in the fourth quarter. Like you saw he banged those threes, like he hit those clutch shots, but we just couldn't close out the game. And like we want him to play like he did in the fourth quarter and be more commanding with the ball and like just not be scared to take those tough shots like he's usually used to doing. Obviously like he's not scared to do it, but I just didn't feel like he was there in those first three quarters. And just, yeah, I want him to play like he did in the fourth, just be more assertive with the ball.
Yeah, like the thing with him is like he was able to kind of get to his spots and get to where he wanted to go, just he wasn't making the shots, and it looked like he didn't have enough leg on his shots, and it looked like wherever he was going, whether it was Klay Thompson or Draymond defending him, it looked like they had the beat on him. And maybe that just means that he's very predictable, or he's gotten more predictable over these times, because you only ever really see him score in a few different ways. And, you know, whether it's that pull up three ball that he likes to do, or whether it's that turnaround mid range game that he likes so much, or just pull up mid range jumper or getting to the hoop. It's always tough to see a guy struggle as badly as he did, especially when it's your team and your offense doesn't seem to get going. And his passing, like I said, he had five, like it felt like he turned the ball over 100 times. He only had 5 turnovers, which felt like a lot more than that. His passing wasn't really good. Getting, you know, when he was getting double teamed, it seems like he's waiting too long to move the ball. And we kind of saw that at the end of game two, I want to say. We saw a couple of those times where he just wasn't able to get the ball off quick enough. And he wasn't, I don't know if it's his decision making or if he's just so confident in himself and being able to draw that double team and then get it off. but it seemed like he wasn't all there in those senses. And I would like to see him, you know, get better at those kind of things throughout this series, and maybe not turn the ball over five times in, you know, really, I would say, ways that we haven't seen him turn the ball over throughout most of this season. And, you know, Golden State's defense is really good. That's the thing, right? Kawhi Leonard was pretty good on defense as well, but he just wasn't there on the offensive end, and that's kind of where this team needs him the most. And then another guy I want to talk about who kind of struggled on Monday was Pascal Siakam. He didn't really have the same impact that he usually does, Cal. What did you like from Siakam, and what did you not like from Siakam?
I mean, I think he started off well in the first quarter. I think he had he played like he usually does. Like, he gets open for the pass. He hit his spots well. Obviously not hitting the three like he would want to. I think he had three open looks in the corner in the first quarter, but he didn't hit any of them. And like, he did score, I think it was like 6 or 8 points in the first, and they were all like decent moves to the basket. So I think that he started off well, but I don't, like, he just, I literally did not notice him in the fourth. I don't know if it was the same with you, but I didn't even sense him on the court, because like it was pretty much the Kawhi show in the fourth. Like, Siakam seemed pretty.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because you're right. Like, he did not. And usually when, especially us, like, we love Pascal Siakam, especially with us, it's like, you'd love to see this guy doing anything, and you're always noticing him, and you're always seeing him running somewhere, or making a nice pass, or making a really athletic play. And that's a very good point that you made there. He wasn't really doing any of that in, you know, the second half, really. He had a good first half where he got kind of on the board there, but then in the fourth quarter, literally, I'm looking at his shot chart right now in the fourth quarter. No attempts, no shot attempts in that fourth. In the third, he's 1 of 4. In the second quarter, he's 3 of 5, all inside the paint. And then in that first quarter, he's like 2 of 7. And that's all of his scoring has been inside the paint and from where he likes to get to. And when he's not hitting those, you know, mid-range kind of jumpers, or those weird fall-away inside the paint shots that he loves, and those spin moves and all that kind of stuff, it's really hard for him to get going, because especially when he's getting 3 or 4 wide open corner threes that he is just clunking. Like, every time he gets a wide open corner three now, it's just like, yeah, don't think that one's going in. And right out of his fingers, you can see that it's not going to go in. And it hasn't gone in pretty much this whole series. Like, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I wouldn't be shocked if he is 0 for whatever from the corner three, because he hasn't been hitting it well. And it was not just that game, right? It's kind of been happening this whole series where he's kind of, or this whole like playoffs where he's been on and off. He wasn't really getting on the boards as much as he usually does, which is a good thing for Siakam to do. I think Kawhi Leonard played a big part of that, because Kawhi was getting on the board so much, so maybe Siakam didn't have to. But when he's not getting on the boards, you'd think that he should be getting in transition and running and getting open on the break, but he wasn't really able to do that either, outside of a couple minutes here and there in the first and second quarter. And I mean, Golden State does a good job at getting back and having one or two guys back, just because of the way they play and the way their offense is set up. They always have one or two guys back there just because they're always ready for three balls. But even then, Siakam is more physical than a lot of the guys who are back first on that Golden State team, whether it's Quinn Cook or Steph Curry, or, you know, even if it's Kevon Looney, Pascal Siakam kind of has a little bit on him. I don't know if, like, I don't know if it's a consistency thing. I thought that Siakam was going to have a really big game last game. I thought he was going to be kind of the it factor and the one thing that pushed the Raptors over the edge in this one, but he really wasn't able to do that. I mean, it wasn't bad. You look at his numbers, it's not horrible, right? He puts up 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Like, that's not bad. He's shooting 40%. Like, that's a pretty average game for most players, but unfortunately, we're expecting a lot more out of him. And unfortunately for him, like, that kind of production is not enough. And it's not something that I like to see. It's not something that most Raptors fans like to see. Speaking more about some big mans here, I liked Marc Gasol. His game on Monday night was really good. I just think, as you know, we've been saying, is that he just needs to be more aggressive, right? This seems like we're beating the same drum here over and over again with Marc Gasol. And when you're shooting 4 of 6 from the field and 2 of 3 from three, like, you're doing something right, obviously, but you're only taking 6 shots. Why are you only taking 6 shots when you're shooting over 66% from the field? Like, that's something that I don't know. Maybe he wasn't getting enough touches, enough open touches, but we've seen this team play, even in this series, we've seen this team play against the Warriors 5 times. Gasol gets those open shots. Are you thinking that it's more of a confidence thing, or is it just that he knows his game and he knows what he likes to do in terms of passing the ball and moving the ball more than anything else?
I think it's definitely confidence, because I think we've said that throughout pretty much every game, man, that he's got to be more confident shooting the ball. And I think he's finally realized that he can actually shoot that. So I like the role where he's like, kind of, he's that option when he's open, but also he's a passing player, and he can run the ball wherever he wants. Like, he's an all around player, and you got to use him to his strengths, but not like over abuse him or overuse him in one area. So I think they use him for shooting just enough. And yeah, I think the way that we've been using him these past few games has been really good, because like, he's been pretty consistent throughout the series. So I like his role currently with the Raptors.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like what he's doing. And his role is kind of that floor spacing guy, and the guy who you can facilitate your offense through. But he's got to find that. And it's so hard to do, and it's, you know, it's kind of an impossible ask, but he's got to find that middle ground, right, where he is able to facilitate enough, but also take enough shots to stretch the floor as much as possible, and to get guys more open. Because when he's hitting that shot, you can't just leave him out there if he's going to take 5 or 6 threes. And we saw that with Brook Lopez in Milwaukee, right? When he's shooting 5 or 6 threes a game and he's making 4 of them, you got to respect that shot. You got to respect getting out there and getting out to that 3-point line, which then opens up more room for the paint. And that in turn will affect how Pascal Siakam plays, because he's such a big in-paint presence, how Kawhi Leonard plays because he gets in the paint so much, how Norm Powell, all these guys, anyone who's on the floor, it will impact their ability to get into the basket and stuff like that. And you know what? He was still good on the board, so only defensive rebounds. He got 8 rebounds, and he looked really good. I think another guy who was really good was Serge Ibaka. He's had a very good series, this series, and he has done everything that he has needed to do. I think this is probably the first game in the playoffs where we have lost when Serge Ibaka has more than 10 points. That's what it feels like to me. Like, whenever he's able to put up 10 points, the Raptors are in a very, very good position. And you know what? Monday night, he had a very good game. 15 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, a big block. He had a couple turnovers, but he shot over 60% from the field. What do you see from Ibaka that needs to continue?
I think just his defensive presence, man, has been like, he was known for that for so long, making the all defensive team, being the Ibaka, you know, known for his blocking ability. And only just recently has he really gotten back into that, because like during the season he was he was an offensive player, really. Like they used him for his, just like his way to attack the rim and all, because he's such an athletic player. But now I think he's found a balance at the right time, really, to be that big presence in the paint for us defensively and offensively. I think he's just got to continue what he's doing. Like you said, when he scores over 10 points, like we're in a really good position because he's coming off the bench. You need that off the bench as well. Like when you have him as a second option to Marc Gasol, like it's only going to be good for your team. So I think the balance that they found with him in defense and in offense is really good, and that's what's got to keep going.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think energy, right? His energy is through the roof, especially at home. And hopefully there isn't another home game for this team. But I mean, his energy when in the Scotiabank Arena is unmatched, and it's really hard to get behind, to get over that hump from the other team. When Ibaka has a big offensive rebound, and even if it's just a putback layup, everybody gets fired up, and any of his blocks, everyone is really excited. And anything that he does, he's got that look on his face where he's just like, yeah, I'm the man. And everyone believes it, no matter what. So, Callum, I think that's it for talking about Game 5. What do you think Game 6 is going to look like?
I think it's going to be a really tough game because the Warriors are coming off that injury to one of their players, especially it being KD. I think they're going to be looking for blood, and they're going to come out super hot. And the Raptors gotta roll with them, man. They gotta actually hit their threes, keep up their defensive, like on the defensive end, keep that up, because obviously they did hit a lot of threes, but I think our defense has still been great throughout the series. You got to keep that going. I mean, yeah, if Curry scores 30 points and Klay scores 25, sure, let them do that. Just don't let anybody else score. Then you'll win the game easily. I think it's going to be a super tough battle, but I feel like the Raptors know that they got to win this game and not bring it back to Toronto and win it in Oracle Arena. So I think I'm going to have the Raptors win by 4 points.
All right. That's, you know what? To me, and I said this before, prediction for Game 4, you can't only win by 4 in Oracle, because it's not going to happen. I don't think that you're going to be able to win by less than 5 points in Oracle, because they just feed off the energy in that crowd, and Steph Curry knows what pressure is like. And I'm not saying that the Raptors fans don't, or the Raptors players don't know that, but Steph Curry, Klay Thompson are cold-blooded, and they know what it's like to win. They know how to win when it comes to in Oracle, and they're going to want to win. This is going to be the last game ever in Oracle. They're going to want to win there. So I think if the Raptors do win, they're going to have to win by a decent margin, and I think it's going to happen. I think that's going to be, I still don't think we've had a signature Kawhi game yet, and I don't know if we're going to get it. I don't know if we're going to get it this series, but if this is the time to do it, if there's a time to do it, it's right now. It's this one right now, and it's what you have to get in, and you have to get over the hump early and make sure that you're ahead by more than 5 points going into halftime, because that third quarter will be deadly. And I know that for a fact, the third quarter will be deadly in Oracle when it comes down to it. But I do have Raptors winning. Raptors are going to win in 6. As my mom said last night, the Raptors have to win in 6 because we are from the 6. And I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. But I agree. So yeah, Raptors win. I've said that they're going to win every single game though, so I I don't know how reliable I am to listen to. Anyways, I think that's it for us today, Cal. Thank you as always for hopping on, and I love chatting with you. If you aren't already, please go subscribe and rate and review to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you guys find them. Subscribe to us there. Give us a rating and review. Go to takesix.org and subscribe to us there. You can see blog posts and our podcast and everything up there. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @take_6 and show us some love. So, yeah, thanks, everybody. Raptors in 6.